The Infant Prodigy. Hermes proved himself to be the most extraordinarily pert and precocious baby that ever drew breath. Within a quarter of an hour of his birth, he had crawled from one side of the cave to the other, throwing out comments to his startled mother as he did so. 5 minutes later, he had requested a light so that he might better examine the cave's walls. Being offered none, he struck two stones together over twists of straw and kindled a flame. This had never been done before. Now, standing upright and still not half an hour old, this remarkable infant announced that he was going for a walk. The close confines of this cramped cavern are occasioning me uncomfortably acute claustrophobia, he said, inventing both alliteration and the family of phobia words as he spoke. I shall see you presently. Get on with your spinning or knitting or whatever it is. There's a good mother. As he ambled down the slopes of Mount Cyllene, this singular and sensational prodigy began to hum to himself. His humming turned into tuneful singing, which the nightingales in the woods around him immediately began to copy and have been trying to recapture ever since. After he had travelled he knew not how far, he found himself in a field, where he was met by the wondrous sight of a herd of pure white cattle cropping the grass and lowing gently in the moonlight. "Oh," he breathed, entranced, "what beautiful moo-moos!" For all his precocity, he was still not above baby talk. Hermes looked at the cows, and the cows looked at Hermes. "Come here," he commanded. The cows stared for a while, then lowered their heads and continued to graze. So it's like that, is it? Hermes thought quickly and gathered up long blades of grass, which he plaited together into something like a bovine version of horseshoes, attaching one to each hoof of every cow. Around his own tiny, plump feet, he wrapped laurel leaves. Finally, he snapped off a branch of young willow and stripped it down into a long switch, with which he easily and expertly tickled and stung the cows into a tight and manoeuvrable herd. As an extra precaution, he drove them backwards, all the way up the slope and back to the mouth of the cave, where his astonished and alarmed mother had been worriedly standing ever since he had wandered so very calmly away. Maya had had no experience of motherhood before this, but she was certain that the striking style and eccentric behaviour of her son were not usual, even amongst gods. Apollo, she knew, had defeated Pytho while still an infant, and Athena, of course, had been born fully armed. But creating fire out of nothing but stones? Driving cattle? And what was this he was dangling before her eyes? A tortoise? Was she dreaming? "Now, mother," said Hermes, "listen, I've had an idea. I'd like you to stun the tortoise, scoop out the flesh and cook it. I expect it will make a delicious soup. I'd recommend adding plenty of wild garlic, if I were you, and perhaps a suspicion of fennel. And then there'll be beef for mains, which I shall see to now. I'll just borrow this knife and be with you again before you know it." With those words, he disappeared to the back of the cave, off whose stone walls rang the appalling screams of a cow having its throat cut by a plump-fisted baby. After what Maya had to confess was a truly delicious supper, she summoned up the courage to ask her son what he might be up to now, for he was hanging out stringy lines of cow gut in front of the fire. While he waited for these foul-smelling strips to dry, he busied himself with boring little holes along the edges of the tortoise shell. "I've had an idea," was all he would tell her.